Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Stretch run of Grant and Danny. Washington is building a foundation of success on and off the field this season. It's time for you to plan for your future as well. The sponsor of our shows, the law firm Condori & Murat. They'll help you update your last will and testament. They'll set up a revocable trust for you and your family. Schedule a free consultation with their estate planning attorneys today by visiting kmlawyers.com. Be sure to tell them we sent you. That's kmlawyers.com. Tomorrow on the show, Commander Survivor. You're going to boot a player off the island, give a player immunity. It's starting to get harder. We are into the stretch run. Final seven installments of Commander Survivor ahead now. And then on Wednesday, Austin Eckler will join us. Normally a Tuesday appointment. Their schedule's out of whack because of the Thursday game. So he's going to join us on Wednesday on the show here on Grant and Danny. Thursday morning, you, me, Darris on a train on our way to Philadelphia for Commander's Eagles. Thursday night we'll be at the game at the Link after doing the show in Philly. And then we're back on the train Friday morning to come back for a live show Friday afternoon. Our field trip will be a post-game show this Friday from Third Hill Brewing, our first ever show appearance in Silver Spring, Maryland on Georgia Avenue.
Boys are busy little bees this week, my friend. Head on a swivel. I got a lot going on. And it's all fun because the team's good. Like, that's what, at the end of the day, I'm frustrated and ticked off about yesterday. I'm still annoyed. I'm in a bad mood all last night. Watching Red Zone and the rest of the football day wasn't as much fun, less that kind of acidic taste in my mouth. I've been irritated all day today. But the reason I'm irritated is because this is a good team. And that was a winnable game against another good team. That's fun. That's way better than there's no point to any of this because Dan owns the dumb thing. There's no point to any of this because Bruce is here. Like, this is a far cry from where we were a year ago when it was Ron Rivera and the Marty Party just bumbling their way through things. This is a different story, and I haven't lost sight of that.
As we like to do in the final stretch of the show on Mondays, it is time for Don't Forget About.
The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm begging you guys, please do not forget about the fact that it was Quan Martin right there at the goal line in a make-or-break moment, in a gotta-have-it type of play, as Pittsburgh was walking down that football field, converting time after time after time. Shout out Cindy Lauper. They were about to score a touchdown. They were out physicaling, if that's even a word, Washington, until Quan Martin out physicaled Najee Harris right there at the goal line. What an incredible play that was for ultimately Jeremy Chinn to come up with that fumble. But that was grown man stuff. Don't forget about that play.
Don't forget about how good Ben Sinnott was in the preseason when they threw him the football. And about the fact that he's a handful in the open field to tackle, that he runs through guys, that he bounces and pins balls off of people. It's why he was considered to be one of the best, I use air quotes here, fullbacks in college football in the country last year, but he was a pass-catching H-back, a tight end type. I want to see more of him. And as this Ertz thing is going the way that it is, where as the season goes on and he's not making plays after the catch and getting yards that aren't schemed up, I think it's worth, I'm not saying burying Ertz on the depth chart, just working Sinnott in a little bit more. He played 13 snaps yesterday. They had over 50 as a team. Let's get him the football a couple of times.
Don't forget about the fact that Zane Gonzalez had not kicked in the NFL since 2021. He's just on the street, just hanging out. He's in the Chris Blewett tier of kickers, according to the NFL. 32 teams have kickers, and they all said no thank you to Zane Gonzalez. He put foot to ball five times, and five times that ball went through the uprights. That's not nothing. Multiple kickoffs. There was no issue on the kickoff coverage. No weird flub where he hit it off the side of his foot or towed it or hit out of bounds or had something that was easily returnable. Overall, kicking game was seamless. Credit to Zane Gonzalez.
Don't forget about Jaden Daniels only being pressured 11 times on 34 dropbacks yesterday, despite two right tackles being unavailable, top one and two options on your depth chart, being down to your third-string tackle, Trent Scott, who did not play well the only other time he was really pressed into extensive duty. And he was going head-to-head with Watt. That is a win for Cliff Kingsbury, scheming it up. That is a win for Trent Scott, largely, and the rest of the guys on that offensive line, the tight ends, the backs that were chipping him, because they were doing a lot of that. Trust me on that. And that's also a win for Jaden Daniels, getting the ball out as effectively, quickly, fast, efficiently as he could. But don't forget that this could have and probably should have been a game-changing, game-wrecking scenario on the offensive line. Then Biotish missed the drive, and they go have their best drive of the day, not because of center play, but just because Terry McLaurin made a couple awesome plays. Don't forget, though, that undermanned up front against the scariest defensive front they're going to face all year, they got by. And I think that is a resounding victory for this staff and for the guys that filled in.
Don't you dare forget about the fact that Sheldon Day only played 40% of snaps on this defense. It was second on the team in tackles yesterday. Impactful. Now, again, it's not a huge, a bunch of negative things. He did have one TFL in there, but holding his own very well. Again, these fringe edge of roster value signings that this regime has done have really worked. I mean, obviously, we haven't even gotten to Dante Fowler, who leads the universe in sacks for them, had two more yesterday. But, Sheldon Day doesn't get any headlines other than part of like a little sentence of team transactions. We cut this guy. We signed this guy for the practice squad. Sheldon Day's here. That dude had eight tackles yesterday in a pretty marquee game against a good team.
Don't forget that Dante Fowler, after two more sacks and four in his last two games, is on pace for 14 this year, something Brian Arakpo never even thought about, got close to. Ryan Kerrigan's career high was 13.5. Montez Sweat in his wildest dreams never got close. Chase Young in his career barely has more than that. Don't forget that only Dexter Manley twice and Charles Mann once in organizational history, those three seasons, have ever equated to 14 or more sacks. And Fowler is on that pace after 10 games. Sign him. Keep him around. He is playing really well.
Don't forget about the fact that Terry McLaurin is on pace to shatter. I'm not just talking about come close to shatter every career mark that he's ever had. All it takes, turns out, is a really good quarterback and a pretty good offensive scheme. You don't need other guys to take the pressure off because Terry McLaurin is the weapon. Terry McLaurin's downfield, Terry McLaurin intermediate, and sometimes Terry short. He is really, really good even still. This situation is good for him. Even last week where he only had a couple of catches, it was 2 touchdowns for those catches. So we'll certainly take that. I think he will too. He's one off his career high in terms of touchdown catches, as I mentioned, and he's only 400, give or take, 7 yards away from his career high in yardage. He should blow past that.
Don't forget about one of the weirdest stat lines ever. Deami Brown catching 2 balls for negative 13 yards.
Tough day.
With a long of negative 2.
Yeah.
Because one of his catches was a screen that I think was supposed to go to Terry McLaurin, where he kind of, rather than being a lead blocker, drops back into the backfield and receives the pass.
Someone didn't do the right thing on that play.
And I'm going to assume it was him.
Feels like
not McLaurin.
Right. Yeah.
McLaurin kind of looked at him after the play, and Deami looked up and was like, what the heck's the matter with you? And Terry kind of chirped at him. 2 for negative 13, and a drop touchdown. Oh, by the way. Would have been a really funny day if it was like 3 for minus 4 and a touchdown. But 2 for negative 13 for Deami Brown. Long of minus 2 with the drop touchdown.
Quick, don't forget if I may, when they're backed up on their own 1 post-turnover, you know who they had in the backfield? That was Chris Rodriguez. Only 2 carries right there in a row when they're trying to thump and get a little a push up there. Something to watch as we kind of go forward here. They were operating mainly with McNichols and Eckler, obviously, as their feature backs. But I think they sort of acknowledge when we need a really tough yard and everyone knows we're running, Chris Rodriguez is the play, you know, without Brian Robinson.
There you go. Don't forget about on Grant and Danny here on The Fan. The Eagles have now sneaky come out of their bye. So they went into their bye 2-2. They got doubled up by the Bucs. Their only win in their final 3 weeks ahead of their bye was a game that they should not have won against the Saints, where the 2 Saints defenders ran into each other, and then Dallas Goedert, like, I don't know how what you would call that, galloped.
He was moving.
Waddled
but not
down the field for like 70
fast.
Yards. So they go into the bye week 2-2. Since then, they are 5-0. They squeaked out a win over the Browns. Their coach, Nick Sirianni, was yelling at all their fans, chirping at them, and had to apologize after for getting, quote-unquote, like caught up in the moment. They've won 4 in a row since even then, though, when people were calling for him to be fired for that. They beat the Giants 28-3. They beat the Bengals 37-17. They survived a scare from the Jags. They were up huge in that game, though. And then they dominated the Cowboys. So I am a couple weeks away from maybe having to eat some crow. I thought this team was not very good. I did not think that Philly would get its act together. But if you look at the last month with uncompetitive blowout wins over the Giants, the Jaguars for a half, although it ended up being really close, and then Dallas in 3 of those 4 games, they've turned a corner, and now they're hosting Washington on a short week. You'd much rather be the home team, not the road team, for Thursday night football. This is going to be the game of the year to date.
Yeah, this is challenging. Challenging atmosphere for a team that's, you know, playing its best football of late. They kind of survived that no A.J. Brown, no Devontae Smith, had injuries on the offensive line, injuries on defense too. They're getting healthier. That bye week came at a good time for them, despite it being pretty early. Washington, as Jay Gruden said, kind of desperately needs their bye week. A lot of guys are banged up and bumped and bruised, and things are nagging. They could really use some time to heal in a number of ways. And
Philadelphia still have 3 more games before their bye.
Yeah.
This is a mini bye when you play Thursday. It's basically like a bye.
You got to get through this part.
10 days after this.
But Philly's playing their best football. This is kind of what I was worried about looking at them. That, you know, the reports of their demise I always thought were over-exaggerated. Last year they fell apart. They did. But there's still some pretty good nuts and bolts with a really good general manager in place there. So the rest of their schedule, they've got the Ravens and they have the Steelers, the 2 teams that Washington just played. Man, maybe you'd say the Rams isn't the easiest place to go across the country.
Rams are good.
Yeah, Rams are okay, I think. But the rest of their schedule is pretty cake. And I think they have as good a shot as anybody to win the division.
Washington has 2 hard games left after Thursday. The Eagles have
Ravens, Steelers, and then Rams,
I don't think it's an with the Rams.
Hard game?
The Rams,
okay.
You know, but it's 1 game harder than Washington's. They're both pretty soft.
Yep.
Right? I mean, you'd rather have the Commanders' schedule than theirs, but neither of them are arduous. The only thing I'm going to say about the Eagles, and the reason I won't yet say that they're actually pretty good and I was wrong, who have they beaten in this stretch? I mean, they've played nobody. They played the Browns, who the Commanders dominated, and they won by 4. They played the Giants, who are awful. They played the Bengals, who we think are pretty good, but they haven't played like it. They have a bad record. They lose all the time. They played the Jaguars, who their coach might be fired. Best odds right now to be the next coach fired is Doug Peterson. They're bad. They're going to be picking in the top 5. And they played the Cowboys with Cooper Rush and Trey Lance. That is the least impressive 5-game slate you could draw up. In fact, if I had to go 5-0 where I died, I might pick that five-game slate right now.
Yeah, four of those five might make my list, to your point. I don't know that it puts Cincinnati there, yeah.
I think that's fair. But four of those five teams are who you would want to play. So forgive my skepticism. You know, like, I just don't look at them, and I have not been impressed at all at any point. But at some point, if you just keep winning, nothing else matters. But they're in Washington territory for me a little bit when I ask you, who have they beaten? Their wins this year are against the Cowboys without Dak, the Jaguars, the Bengals. Washington has that win, too, and we're saying they don't have a quality win. The Giants, the Browns, the Saints, who have already fired their coach, and the Packers in week one. That is their best win.
That's their best
win. That's a neutral site Brazil game that's effectively like preseason week five, if we're being honest. So, I don't know, man. I mean, since week one, which is the whole league ago, nothing like that's a different time in the world. They have not one win that impresses me.
No, and I'm not crowning them by any stretch of the imagination. As you said, they're in a very similar bucket to Washington because on Philly Sports Radio, they're doing the same thing about us, right? Talking about how Washington doesn't have a signature win. That Washington's best win is Arizona, because Arizona's played better since then. So there's no feather in the cap. Yeah, they beat Pittsburgh at home. Watch out. Yeah, they beat Tampa or, they thumped all the best teams in their schedule and their wins are more impressive than ours. They have very similar resumes, to be honest with you, right? Philadelphia now is good enough to take advantage. When a team stinks, they beat the brakes off of them. See what they did to the Giants. See what they did to Dallas this past week. And Washington has done that as well. When a team is non-competitive, they look like it.
So I'm just thinking about the difference in a win and a loss against the Eagles and just from a narrative standpoint, initially, what's going to be said? I was referencing my buddy in the DC media. It texted me. It was like the standings with this thought. And he goes, man, if they lose to the Eagles, the story around here is going to change big time. And I think what he's getting at is now you're 7-4. Mm-hmm. And now you look at the playoffs and teams like San Francisco who are on the out looking in are trying to gain on you in the wild card, breathing on your neck. And I think that that is true, that if they lose to Philly and they lose two straight, there will be people going, they haven't beaten anybody. They're 7-4. If not for the Hail Mary, they'd be 6-5, which isn't that impressive, right? It's good and it's ahead of schedule, but it's a whole lot different than they're about to be 8-2, right?
Yep.
Here's my problem with that. While that's all true, I still look at their schedule if they lose to the Eagles the rest of the way, and I still see them easily winning 11 games. I still see them working Dallas twice, beating Tennessee at home. That's 3. I think they beat the Saints. That could be 4. And then you play Philly 2 times. If you split one of those, that's 5. And you lose to the Falcons, you're 5-2 or whatever down the stretch. That still gets you to 12 wins. So let's say you lose one of those games you're not supposed to, either to New Orleans or Tennessee or one of the games to Dallas. That's 11 wins. It would take a pretty massive collapse for them not to make the playoffs. Like, I don't see a path to being 11-6 and not being a wild card team. So it is true that if they lose to Philly, I think people will start to have very different conversations about how good they are, but I won't be one of those people. I mean, they're on a one-way HOV lane, easy pass, commute into work, and their office destination is 11 wins in the playoffs.
I mean, just looking at this, the landscape of the NFC, if they go 2-5, they've got a legitimate shot still of making the postseason. Not a great one, but that's 9 wins.
But you're saying that means if they go 3-4.
That's 10 wins. They're probably in. So, yeah, that to me isn't in question.
And with this schedule, 4-3 should be the
doable,
goal.
100%.
There's no reason they really shouldn't be able to do that.
Agreed.
Virginia Tech hoops coming your way next on The Fan tonight. Thank you to Ryan and Toby for their work behind the scenes. Grant and Danny saying so long. We're back at it at 2 o'clock.
Thank you for coming.
I'm Toby Altizer with your sports update on The Fan. The Commanders take on the Steelers, or they lost to the Steelers yesterday 28-27. Thursday Night Football, they'll take on the Eagles. Taking a look at the practice report, 3 players listed as DNPs today. Cornerback Marshon Lattimore, kicker Austin Seibert, and linebacker Nick Ballore. Tonight, Monday Night Football, Dolphins and Rams. College hoops tonight, Virginia Tech taking on Winthrop. You can hear it next here on The Fan. Maryland taking on Florida A&M at 7 o'clock. You can hear that on the Team 980. Tonight for the Wizards, the second of a back-to-back. They take on the Rockets in Houston. 8 p.m. tip-off. You can hear the game on Bloomberg 99.1. Kyle Kuzma is going to play tonight after he's missed the last five games. From the Crop Medcalf, five-star sports desk, I'm Toby Altizer on The Fan.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.